Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, my guest is the author presenting your voice, your new voice, Voice Speech Communication Skills for the 21st Century, CD with Bill Patty. If you'd like to speak to Bill, please give him a call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can post your question in the chat room. Well, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself and how did you all of a sudden decide to write the CD?
Well, it wasn't all of a sudden, really. It's been going on my whole life. I've been in radio and television as an announcer, and this kind of progressed through the years. I also worked as a professor at a local university for 15 years. So I combined the two, the voice and the professor, and I became yourvoiceprofessor.com. And that's what I do. I teach people how to speak, how to use their voice, how to improve their life and career with their voice and speech. And a lot of people don't think about how important that is, but it really is critical today as we go along with all this technology that people learn how to speak properly.
Well, how did you begin your career in radio and TV? Kind of
well,
walk
this is
us
what
through.
I wanted to do right from the... I'm one of those rare people that knew when I was 10 years old, believe it or not, and had not had my voice change yet, that I wanted to be a disc jockey. So I would listen to disc jockeys on the radio, and my father bought me this tape recorder, and this is many years ago, and I would sit down and record the music, and then when the music was done, I would take the microphone, and I would be the DJ. And I did this for years and years in my room, believe it or not. And
wow.
I lived up north where it was snowing most of the year, so I had a lot of free time on my hands. And as a result, slowly I developed as an announcer and became a radio television announcer all over the country and have done commercials and videos, DVDs, just about every facet of the business that you can imagine I did with the voice, even sports announcing. So I've done it all, and as a result, I have a real good command of my voice, and that is really critical when you're trying to sell someone on yourself, your product, even yourself as a date. You know, people, this online dating is crazy today, and I'm actually on that. I'm divorced again, so I'm online dating and learning that the voice with a woman, or vice versa, the woman with the man, is really critical to finding a better-looking, better, more suitable date for yourself. So this is all part of your life in general. Life is a performance, and if you remember that, you can perform at optimum level, and you can do better, obviously, in your career and your life.
When you began that particular career, did you go straight to college, and or you just went to the senior information out to radio stations and landed a job there?
I went to college. I went to Butler University in Indianapolis and studied radio television for four years, and then began my, and of course when you're a disc jockey you move around a lot, and I did that, moved to various cities, developing as an announcer and moving up the ladder as it were. And then of course you reach a plateau when you get to a certain age where you cannot continue to work in that kind of business, and then eventually you have to branch out into another area. So I started doing voiceovers, commercials, and videos and DVDs and even on hold messages, anything that needed a voice, I was doing it and recording it and making pretty good money doing that. And, of course, that today is a lucrative income for many, many people, whether it be celebrities or just regular announcers. I've done this through the years, and then eventually I developed into teaching people voiceovers and even into teaching them voice and speech skills. So that's where I'm at right now. I teach individuals around the country how to speak better, how to get rid of accents, how to improve their voice. They all have specific problems I work on. I do it with corporate entities. I go to a corporation. I work with groups of individuals, three-hour PowerPoint presentation, teach them how their voice on the telephone represents a company. That, of course, impacts the bottom line for the company. So the person on the phone is actually the most important person in the building. It's not the CEO. It's not the CFO. No, it's the receptionist out front who answers the phone first, who has the first contact with new customers and old customers. That is a critical thing that we forget about today. As we build our business, we're so worried about the inner turmoil of the business, we forget about the basics. And the basics are communication at its purest level. You have to have somebody who knows how to speak, how to be friendly, what to say to people, and to get the job done well. And that's a person who is not making minimum wage, who is well-trained, who is respected in the organization. Those are the kinds of people you want working for you, and that makes you a better company. It makes a lot more money for you as well. There's actually three reasons to be voice speech trained as I talk about money, and that is money, love, and confidence. So I touched on the money part. It's customer service. That's what having a great voice and great speech abilities will bring you. A lot of money. It will. It simply will make you more career advanced. You're going to get those promotions. You're going to be thought of more highly in your organization if you can make a complete sentence. So this is critical, and that's how businesses are going to succeed in the future. Communication. If you go to a McDonald's today, for example, just not to pick on the number one hamburger chain, but this is the place that I go to, and I go to the drive-up teller, and I try to understand what that person on the other end of the speaker is talking to me about. I just ordered a hamburger and fries, and they mumbled back something to me on the speaker. I'm not even sure what they said, because no one took that 18-year-old and said, in 3 hours, here's what you do with your mouth. You have to open your mouth. You have to use your jaw, your tongue, all the parts of your mouth, and it all has to work in conjunction with your brain. You have to slow down, speak slowly, and quit mumbling. If you allow someone to learn that in a very short period of time, a few hours, that will improve their delivery, improve your business, and people will smile when they come in and see you. McDonald's, of course, has a problem. They don't want to train those people, so they put a big screen up at most of their McDonald's now. It tells you how much money you owe and what you just ordered, because you have no idea what the person is saying on the speaker. So that's the way they solve their problem. But the real way to do it is to teach people how to speak properly. This is a really important thing for the new century, that people communicate well. So we talked about money, and I'm going to move on to love. Are you a single guy, Tim?
Oh, I'm married.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Well, the fact of the matter is, the question that they always say in comedy is, are you happy or are you married, that kind of thing. But the reality is, married or not, maybe someday you're going to have a situation where you're going to have to get yourself a new date. I hope not, but perhaps that will happen. Or people who are listening to us today who are single are looking for a new person in their life, a love interest. The fact is, the voice is the critical part of the operation. Now, you haven't been online dating, I don't think. Let's hope not. But I have, so I know that the first thing that happens when you meet a woman online is you write them an email. Well, that's kind of an easy thing to do, but it's impersonal. The next step is to talk on the telephone. So if you have a great voice and you can really make a great speech to this woman, you're probably going to be more successful than somebody who is stuttering and mumbling and sputtering along and doesn't know how to really use their voice properly, and perhaps has a voice that is not pleasant to listen to. That's a part of the whole thing. There's something called the Barry White effect when it comes to love. Are you familiar with Barry White at all? He's a singer, a very famous singer.
Absolutely. He's from Texas.
Oh, all right. I didn't know he was from Texas.
Yeah, he's from Galveston, Texas.
Galveston, Texas.
Outside. Well, yeah, Galveston. He's outside of Houston. It's the island right there at the tip of Houston.
So when you and the little woman on Friday night are getting ready for a big hot date, you fire up that Barry White CD?
Absolutely.
Good. And a lot of people still do it. And Barry White is very popular with females in particular because he had a voice. boys against another gentleman or 100 random women. And they asked them, who would they like to meet? This gentleman here is Barry and the other gentleman. And they all picked Barry, of course, because Barry has such a great voice. And they were disappointed to learn he died in 2003. This is a man who sold 100 million records, 5 Grammy Awards. But when you saw a picture of Barry, you would say, wow, this guy will never make it with women. But he did, because of his voice, 7 children with 7 different women. That's Barry White, and still selling lots and lots of records today. That is the power of the voice when it comes to love. And love is important in your life. Everybody wants to be loved, and if you want to be loved by the right person, a better-looking person, a more attractive, intelligent person, wow, this is the way to do it. You have to show that you have the communication skills to go out there and compete for those kinds of people. So we have money, love, and then finally confidence, the third reason to be voice speech trained. Confidence is the ability to have, that ability to talk to people well, to not hesitate, to have a flow in your conversation, to be very confident when you meet them. Now, a lot of us are introverted. Now, you wouldn't believe it, but actually, I'm an introvert. But when I get out and talk, when I get out and perform, and I am a performer as well, I turn that switch on, and all of a sudden, I become an extrovert. Now, there's different types of introvert-extrovert situations. There's shy. A shy person basically doesn't want to meet people, but an introverted person like myself actually is perfectly competent talking to people. They would just rather be by themselves, okay? But as an introvert, you can still go out and meet people and talk and have a grand time, but you would probably rather stay at home and read a book. That's basically the difference. So if, depending on who you are, and you might be an extrovert as well, voice and speech training can really fill the void where you've been failing in the past. Now, remember, in this century, we are totally committed to using our thumbs. We text, we Twitter, we're on the computer. If you see people with a cell phone walking down the street, you know you have to learn how to identify them from the top of their head, because their head is bowed down as they're looking at their cell phone walking down the street. For crying out loud, there was a lady who walked into a lake off a pier a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was up in Illinois. She actually walked off the edge of the pier because she was looking at her cell phone. I'm not kidding. That's what's going on today. People are totally immersed in their phones. They're not communicating with people face-to-face. You're on Facebook. You're writing down all this great information. You're telling the world you're at Taco Bell having a chimichanga, but you don't talk to people one-on-one. You don't know how to do that. So it's important that you learn those basic skills that will help you to talk and meet people, to go in and have that interview for a job, to do the types of things you still have to do to get ahead in this world.
Do you think we have a revolution on communication at this point? I mean, within the last 3 years, you have your Facebook, you have your Twitter, you have Pinterest across the board, and people now has developed a different language itself. They are communicating less and less one-on-one, or are they doing it in a different way that, to the point, like you mentioned, the lady with her phone, they're getting things done, but it's more of a subculture that it seems like is really dominating who we are as people. We're saying something broken to someone in the broken language, whatever, because you only can fit so many characters in a tweet or a text. And they're getting things done, but however, in hindsight, we're developing a different way of communication. And do you think that's really effective, or that's going to hinder us long term?
Well, ultimately, obviously, it's going to change, continue to evolve, and it's mind-boggling to think we've gone from, and, you know, I'm not a really young guy, so I remember telephones back in the day when we had what was called party lines.
Absolutely.
You remember party lines? Okay.
I remember party lines.
For those who don't know or are too young to remember, a party line my father bought because it was cheaper to buy from Ma Bell, this line that had several neighbors on the same telephone line. So when I picked up the telephone, I had the next door neighbor on the phone all the time. This lady never would get off, so I could call my girlfriend. That's how primitive we were compared to today. And that's in one generation we've gone from the party line to cell phones that are literally the smartphones that do everything for us. almost everything. So imagine where we're headed in another generation. But through it all, we're still going to have to be able to speak. Sometime, somewhere, we're going to have to communicate with someone to get what we need, to sell a product, to manipulate people. Yes, it's true we manipulate people. We convince them to do something they don't necessarily want to do. They don't necessarily want to buy that car over there, but a good car salesman can make a sale if he knows how to talk to them properly, if he knows how to kind of smooth it over and get the job done. That's why every time you go to a car dealership, they say to you at first, would you buy a car tonight if I can make a great deal for you? That is communication. That's what you have to do. You have to make the sale, close the deal. And that's what you're still going to have to do 100 years from now, regardless of where we are with the various technology that we're going to have and that's going to be developed. And it's mind-boggling to think where we'll be in 20 or 30 years from now. But it's also a little scary for a guy like me who grew up with party lines to have to figure out all the lingo. And it's true, they're changing communication. They're changing words. Everything has, we used to call it shorthand, believe it or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a stenographer who would take shorthand in the office back in the day on a pad. She would write down these various scratches that would signify a word. So today we're doing that in a little different way. So I suspect that communication will not really affect anything overall. What really gets affected is that people are not touching one another one-on-one. And they're just giving the whole world information on the Internet that may or may not be a good thing to do. I have kids, of course, who are all over Facebook, and some of the things they write on Facebook, I can't even believe they're telling people, because I would never do that. That's just not the type of person I am. So it's changing everything in that way. But communication one-on-one, that's still something that's going to be critical for you down the road. If you learn how to do that properly, you will be head and shoulders above the rest, because most of the others are going to be left behind in the pack.
Okay. Let's take a station break real quick, and we'll come back and talk some more. Again, Bill Patty.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Well, thank you. Welcome back to the program, Bill Patty, yourvoiceprofessor.com. Question regarding, I guess, the way you got started with communication. You went through college, and I know in academia we normally would just go by the book. You do it in a group assignment. How did that prepare you for your radio career, or it was mostly on hands? Then we'll take a question from a caller and probably like in the next couple of minutes.
Well, the thing about college is you get out of it what you put into it. I mean, a lot of people slide through college today and basically just want to get a good grade and then graduate and get a great job, they hope. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it's all part of the overall experience of polishing yourself. As my father used to say, it gives you the polish you need in life. And that's true, because you're meeting all kinds of different people. You're on your own for the first time in your life, and you're learning things, hopefully. When I went to Butler University, basically at that time they had their own college radio station, which was an FM station, and it was probably one of the most powerful ones in Indiana at the time. So when we broadcast on that thing, the whole state was hearing us, and we were just students. And I started actually as a freshman on air, and I was very lucky to be able to be a disc jockey.
Wow.
I was like, you know, very unusual. So I basically got that 4 years of working in every kind of format and you know, every kind of situation on air. So I was ready to go out and work at that point. But a lot of people in radio, they start out fresh out of high school and dive right into it that way and get the experience like that. But I think in the long run, it's always better to get an education because that will help you. Eventually, you're going to have to do other things in your life because they say we have 4 or 5 careers in a lifetime. So you're going to need to have all those skills and experience down the road for decision-making and finding a new path for your life as you get older. And that's the important thing to remember. Everything you do in your life, whether it be what you consider a menial job or an important job, is something that later on you'll be able to take and use down the road in another position, in another business. You don't realize it at the time, but all of that skill and knowledge that you acquire actually can be used in the future. So you're better off just enjoying the ride and you know, take your time and have a great day. That's it.
Great. We're going to take a caller. Please hold. Caller, you're online. Hello? You're online with Bill Patty?
R-Tip. Fuck you in the ass, DJ R-Tip. Fuck you in the ass. Fuck.
Well, I guess that didn't work out.
Well, you know, that's a different form of communication. I have not been on one of those radio shows yet.
It's the first time after 4 months, so I don't know where it is. But anyway, I guess I'm going to continue. You were fortunate enough to work in a radio station, and I know sometimes they allow certain students, okay, you can do the radio station, you can do the advertising. They only have like a certain amount of slots they can offer.
Right.
And
well,
fortunately,
yeah,
we had yours.
Radio is such a tough business today. It's changed dramatically. And it's so different than when I started out. And I don't know how much radio you're involved with yourself, Tim. Are you doing this specifically or do other radio things?
Well, the way this came out to be, we have a finance company, and we started a blog last October. Well, we got so many questions regarding the blog to ask for more details because the articles are short. So we decided, I think, around at the end of the year, why don't we just turn it into a program that we would do maybe like once or twice a week. And we got more questions about it. People like the format because they can go and ask the person who wrote this book themselves about this particular thing, and it actually lessened all the traffic that came in to calls or emails and so forth. So it was a great medium. Now we're doing it 3 hours a day, 3 or 4 hours a day, and we just block this amount of time. People can call in and have questions. And it kind of serves in twofold. And that's how we got started. So it mainly was kind of solving one problem of emails and calls coming to our office, and we only have like 5 people to answer the phones, and it was just causing a bottleneck, and we're trying to, you know, respond to everybody timely. So this one gives a medium, more time people call in to have questions and so forth. Got so popular, we started syndicating because some other people was hearing the show, and they liked some the basic information that other shows were offering, how to start, I mean, from startup to small business. So that's how we got started into it. So more of a fluke. And so anyway, we're just going to go for the ride.
Oh, you kind of got into radio kind of through the back door.
Through the back door. It was mostly to try to keep people from calling the office so much and asking a little bit more details or emails. So
right.
We decided to put this medium, and it's okay, we'll block this amount of time. And again, to the point that we went for one show a week in January. Now we're up to 4 hours a day. So, and it's a good community service. It's good for advertising, good for marketing. So we won't do it more than this. This would be it. And syndication is enough.
And this really, blog talk radio and these types of internet radio stations, and other stations around the country. That's the future of radio, because you know, things have changed dramatically. As when I was young and listening to those radios in those days, it was AM radio. That was, believe it or not, that's a long time ago, and then eventually became FM. But now it's basically owned by corporations. Most of these stations are run by one corporation. They might have 400 stations in the country syndicating one person, like a Howard Stern or a Delilah. And when you're listening to Delilah in Cleveland, she's also broadcast in 400 other stations, you know. So you don't have a lot of opportunity, really, as an announcer that you used to have in the old days to get, you know, to move your career forward. So I think the Internet, blog talk radio, will be the future of radio, and eventually will kind of take over this business, and that's a great thing. So radio is evolving and changing. Of course, satellite radio is a part of that as well. And I did do a lot of the things you talked about there briefly, like advertising. I was a salesperson in radio. I was a program director. You know, all the different positions. And that's a good thing to learn, because, again, you're learning a business. And whether it be the radio business or any other business, they're still basically run the same way. They have accounts receivable, accounts payable. You know, you need a receptionist. If you learn the basics at any business, you can eventually, hopefully, maybe get your own business and move ahead and make more money, obviously, and have a better life. But communication is the key to that, and that's why voice and speech skills and learning how to use your voice properly can really affect your life in a very positive way, and that's what I do.
So how do you actually coach a person to improve their voice? You know, I guess just give some highlights. What do you actually do when you sit down or talk to a person on the phone? Hey, this is what you need to do.
Basically, I have a course laid out, and it goes anywhere from, you know, you can take 1 week. Generally, 4 weeks is a good optimum time to do this, and that's 1 hour a week for 4 weeks, and we go up to 12 weeks. So we can do as much as 3 months. People have specific problems that they want to cure. Some have a problem speaking generally. They mumble, or they talk too quickly, or they're from another country and they have an accent. There's just so many different things that can be a problem for individuals. So you work on those individual problems, but you also work on the basic things, you know, the articulation, the resonance, projection, all of that, the pitch and tone, and that's what you do to get them in a position where they basically know how to use their voice better than they did before. Then it's up to them to take that information and to use it in their everyday life. Now, there's two ways to do that. You can hire me personally to teach you via the telephone once a week as we go through all of that together. And, of course, I work with you, and I'm listening to your voice and helping you out. Or you can do it through your company. You can hire me to come in, fly in, and do a corporate PowerPoint presentation where I teach up to 20 people in a class for 3 hours, and we teach them the basics of voice and speech skills. And believe it or not, it doesn't take all day. This isn't surgery. It's 3 hours of intense work, and you will change the way people feel about the way they speak and communicate with your customers. So that's two of the ways. The third way is this two CD set called Presenting Your New Voice. This is a $60 item. It's the least expensive alternative for you. You can listen in your car, you can listen at home, wherever you are, and you can listen over and over again. It's the same basic exercises and information you would get if you hired me. Of course, I'm just not there in person, but I am on the CD. So those are the options you have to improve your voice. This isn't like going to a plastic surgeon. This isn't like trying to lose weight. You know, you don't have to pay a lot of money. It's a one-time investment for a long-term gain, and that's the best part of it all. If you understand that voice and speech is critical to your success down the road and you're willing to make the sacrifice to do it properly. Now, a couple other things, Tim, I wanted to talk about very briefly when you mentioned you know, what I do with people individually. One of those is to define 6 goals that people need to improve on for better overall speech and voice skills. So if you don't mind, I'd like to go through these goals. Goal number one is vocal health. I'll bet you didn't know that your voice, Tim, is very, very important to the person you are and to your health, believe it or not, because people don't realize the voice, this mucous membrane in your throat. People call it the vocal cords, and I call it the vocal folds.
Folds.
If you look at a picture of them, you know, they actually look like folds. And of course, they vibrate at tremendous speeds to come up with the as the air pushes through to give you that sound. So what you have to do is live a healthy lifestyle, treat your voice like an instrument. This is an instrument. It's a vocal instrument. It is there to last you a lifetime if you take care of it. So you have to feed and care for it properly. And by that I mean you always drink bottled water whenever possible, and particularly if you're speaking, because water is like oil to an engine in a car. This lubricates your vocal folds and keeps them at a maximum output, so you will not have kind of a dry throat or perhaps an irritated feeling throat. You know, maybe you've done a lot of talking, you do 3 interviews in a day, and your voice is feeling a bit scratchy. That's because you're overusing your voice. So you have to be careful. If you overuse it, you can damage it. We have a lot of singers today who are going through problems with their voices because they overuse their voice. They don't allow them to rest, which is basically rest is you do not speak. And that's people like Celine Dion now, who is taking time off from Vegas for the next 3 months because she has had damage to her vocal folds, and she's hoping that not speaking for 3 months will improve it to the point where she can come out in June and perform again in Vegas. It's that important for her because she makes a living doing it. For the rest of us, it also can be important because if we overuse our voice, we can get growths on our vocal folds. We can get other problems down there that can be very critical, even life-threatening. So you want to make sure that you take care of all of that. Watch out for things like air conditioning, fumes, smoke, allergies, colds. All of these things affect your vocal folds and your vocal health. So that's goal number one, to think about your voice as something you have to treat just as well you would treat the rest of your body. It's a part of your body. Goal number two is breathing. Now, Tim, what kind of a breather are you, do you think?
That's
There's
a good question.
Three types of breathers.
Okay.
And one of them is a nose breather. The second one is a throat breather. And the third one is the proper way to breathe, which is through the diaphragm. So a nose breather sounds like Snooki. Now, you know Snooki from MTV?
Mm-hmm.
This is the way she talks, right up here through her nose all the time, because it's so easy to push the air up there, and it doesn't take very much effort. The problem is you can't get any volume when you're up there in your nose all the time. The other person is down here in their throat. They talk right here in this area, and they never push any air anywhere else, and this is really irritating my throat to do this, too, but people talk like this all the time. And the third way, and you can hear the difference in the voice, is where you're using your diaphragm, which is a sheet of muscle around the midsection of your body. That's where you get power in your voice. That's where singers get the air to deliver that long note at the end of the song. That's where you need to be breathing to develop great vocal production. So we're going to do a little exercise with you right now, Tim. We're going to have you do a bit of a breathing exercise here to see how much air you've got in your lungs and whether you're in pretty good shape. How old of a gentleman are you?
Unfortunately, 45.
45, that's very young. We're going to see if you're in good physical condition. And also, this is important to understand that when you're a speaker, you want to have a lot of oxygen, because oxygen is critical to speaking well, getting that projection and resonance you want. And when you're talking to people, you tend to get a little nervous, and that cuts down on your oxygen in your body. Stress will kind of tighten up your body, and sometimes you can get less air in. So you want to have as much oxygen as you can. So what we're going to do is we're going to say the days of the week together. I'm going to time you, and when you run out of air, I want you to stop talking. Okay, so you're just going to say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just keep saying that over and over at any speed you like, but on one breath. And when you run out of breath, just stop talking, okay? So I'm going to give you a countdown. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I'm out of it.
Monday, Tuesday. You're out of air?
I'm out.
Out of it? Oh, my God. That was it.
That was it.
Seconds. You've got 15 seconds. 20 seconds is pretty good. 30 seconds is great. 15 seconds needs some work, Tim. But you're learning. You know, it's about, you know, when with air, with oxygen, it's about letting out a little less air as you're talking so you can conserve that oxygen for later when you get to the end of a sentence. Because if you don't have any oxygen at the end of a sentence, we have what's called glottal fry, where you run out of air and you sound like this. And there are people that talk like that on television, and they basically have never been trained how to speak properly because they do run out of air. And you don't want to do that because it sounds pretty silly to do that. Okay, goal number three is projection. Projection is the ability to throw your voice to the wall wherever you are, whatever room you're in. You should be able to fill a very large room with your voice without a microphone if you're projecting properly, if you're taking that air from your diaphragm, bringing it up through your trachea, pharynx, out through your mouth and to the wall with great projection and force, you can actually fill a room and not need a microphone. So that's the goal of proper projection. It also gives you a very full sound in your voice. So be very careful with this skill, though, because I have two divorces, and that's because the women I was married to would ride in a car with me. And inside a small car, when you project, as radio announcers tend to do, and I'm projecting right now, I'm not screaming, this is screaming, I'm projecting. I would talk in the car at this level, and they would say, you're giving me a headache, you just talk too loud, you're always hollering. And I would say, I'm not hollering, I'm projecting. They say, I want a divorce. So be very careful with this. This is a powerful tool to learn how to project your voice, but you have to learn how to also bring your voice down a bit right here, particularly for females, because they get very nervous when you're talking at that level. So I'm at about a quarter now of what I can be in projection. You see, I brought it down. And that's what announcers do when you hear an announcer bring his voice down here. Now he's doing a movie trailer, and he's way down here with his throat. Do you ever go to a movie and you see those guys who are talking down here about an upcoming feature? You will not believe the excitement. That's what you're getting. You're getting a guy who's using his voice and bringing the air down to a very small level, lowering his voice, and that's why he's a movie trailer guy. That's how you can use your voice in different ways and with different projections of air. Goal number four is resonance. What is resonance? Tim, do you know what resonance is?
Was the wavy pattern of the voice itself?
Well, it's the quality of the voice. I guess wavy pattern would be one way to look at it. Yeah, do you have a voice that people find pleasant to listen to, or do people find it irritating to listen to your voice? If they find it irritating, they tend to not want to listen to you. So you want a voice that people will find soothing and pleasant and one that's not irritating, so you'll be able to make that sale or, you know, push that product or talk on the telephone or whatever you have to do or go on a date, and they'll feel very confident in what you're saying, and they will believe what you say, even though you may not know what the heck you're talking about. That's what this is about, resonance, quality, and you'll get that with the proper breathing, projection, all of the things we're talking about today. Goal number five is pitch and tone. What is pitch and tone? Pitch and tone is the ability to make your voice kind of like a song. You know, when people sing a song, they go for a high note and a low note and everything in between. You do the same when you're speaking to someone. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Man, you look fantastic. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about the death of your husband. Yeah, it's that kind of a feeling, a conversational feel to your voice that makes you stand out from the crowd, that makes you lively and makes you interesting to listen to. And a lot of people simply talk at one note. I call them the Ben Stein people. Ben Stein is the actor that was always featured in movies, and he's still on television a lot, and he has a voice that's at one note all the time. He was always the teacher. If you watch the old movie Ferris Bueller, he's the teacher, and he says, today we're going to have a very interesting lesson. It's going to be, he's on one note. He never changes the note. And I was at I was a professor at a university for 15 years, and every other professor spoke right here, one note, and that's why all the students went to sleep in the class, because you didn't vary the pitch and tone. People are listening to the way you say things, not what you say. That's true. 87% of conversation is how you say it. 13% is what you're saying. So they're not really mm-hmm. getting what you say. They're just understanding how you did it. Well, he really, that President Obama, man, he gave a great speech last night. What did he say? I have no idea what he said, but I really like the way he said it.
But it
Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, the same thing. Ronald Reagan just could say anything, and everybody said, the best speaker that ever lived as a president. Why is that? I have no idea what the heck he was talking about, but he can really deliver a speech off a teleprompter. So that's what you have to understand. People are really paying attention to what you're giving them, not necessarily the information you're giving them. That's critical. And you will have only 4 to 8 seconds to make that first impression on someone. Just 4 to 8 seconds to make that person like you. So you'd better be really unique and different. Okay, finally, goal number 6, articulation and pronunciation of consonants and syllables in words. If you're a lazy speaker, this is what happens. You'll say the word W-I-N-T-E-R, W-I-N-T-E-R, which is winter, but you might be lazy and say, ah, it's a cold winter. Well, was it winter or winter? So you're actually taking the English language, changing the words, and now we don't understand exactly what you're saying to us because you're not really pronouncing each consonant syllable in each word. You have to do that. The word, W-O-R-D, word, has that D at the end that you actually have to move your tongue forward to touch your forward teeth, the top of your teeth. If you don't do that, you don't get that D out properly, and it will sound like word, word. And that's what people do. They cut off the ends of words. That affects how you are understood by other people. This is all part of learning to have the various goals in voice and speech that will make you a better speaker, a better person, a more successful person. And that's what this is about, making you a better person. Are you a better person now, Tim?
Absolutely. I have some questions for you. First
sure.
of all, regarding vocal health, which you already we had this question already. On vocal health, you know, you have singers, for example, remember Dionne Warwick back
sure.
in the 60s? Her voice was really, really clear. And I know as we age, our voice will age as well. Think of the Lucille Balls. If you looked at her stuff in the 40s, her voice aged dramatically through the 50s and 60s and got real, really low by the time she got to the 60s. Is that just a fact of age, or is it a fact of diet? Or and the Dionne problem was probably smoking and overworking her voice.
Right, and you know what happened to Dionne's, I guess it's a relative, or Whitney Houston was related to Dionne Warwick. So Whitney mm-hmm. Houston, who had a tremendous smoking problem, she smoked a lot of different things, but that affected her voice to the point she could not perform anymore. And that's what will happen to your voice. Now, Lucille Ball is a whole different story, but it's interesting that you remember that her voice changed. If you watch the old I Love Lucy shows from the 50s, Lucy's voice was fine. She had a very good voice, clear voice. But by the 60s, something had happened. Well, what happened was, in 1960, she did a Broadway show called Wildcats. And she was doing, in those days, they didn't have these wireless microphones that they have today, this great sound system like they have today. In those days, you had to project from the stage with your voice 8 shows a week. You only got one day off. So as a result, she damaged her voice during that Broadway run. So when she did her show, her color show on television in the 60s, her voice had changed dramatically, and it never came back. It actually can be damaged by overuse or overextending your voice. That's why I'm saying the vocal health of your vocal folds is critical, because you can change the way you sound. Another example of a person who has damaged his vocals is Bill Clinton, who now, if you listen to him, he's more raspy than ever because he just can't stop talking. Back when he was running for president, many years ago, the doctors told him, you have to stop talking on the campaign trail. You just can't keep going like this. Remember, he was the second time he ran for president, he got on a plane and he was going 24 hours a day. I don't know if you remember that. He was actually campaigning 24 hours around the clock for a number of days. And his voice was done. And the doctor said, if you keep talking, you're going to lose your voice totally. And he kept talking, and he's still talking today a lot. and his voice has gotten progressively worse, more raspy, because he's damaged the vocal folds permanently now. They will never come back the way they were. So if you have a problem with your vocal folds, if you feel irritation in your throat, if you feel you've overused it one particular day, rest your voice. Don't talk. That's what singers do. That's what Broadway performers do. They take one day a week, and they don't speak. They write everything down on a pad of paper. People in Vegas, like Celine Dion, for example, she has an ear, nose, and throat doctor on call, and she will not talk for 3 days before she records a record. Now, that's really someone who's worried about their voice, because it's that critical for her success and for her career. And if you're worried about your voice, if you use it a lot in your line of work, you're on the telephone all day, give your voice a chance to rest. That's the only way the irritation in your vocal folds will get a chance to kind of relax, go away, and get better. You continue to irritate them, and then you'll have things growing there, you'll have problems, and that can be obviously a big problem for you. So take care of it. But that's a great thing that you came up with on Lucille Ball. That doesn't usually happen that people know about her change in her voice.
Yeah, and a few others, probably if you just really think about it, they almost have the same problem. But you look at singers like Barbara Streisand, she carefully, over the years, she just stopped. I mean, even if she'd done Broadway and everything else, but she has a powerful voice. However, she don't overwork herself.
Right.
And her voice has changed. It's not as light as it was maybe 20 or 30 years ago. But
yeah,
she still had control of it.
Yeah, Sinatra was the same. I mean, your voice does change to a certain extent, but the reality is it will sound pretty much the way it does now until you're about 80. When you get to be about 80 is when you kind of start sounding really old. So you can go for quite a few years. If you take care of your voice, it can stay with you for a long, long time. But there's singers, it's kind of difficult to say because obviously they're working it so hard, their voice, it's beyond the normal endurance of the vocal folds. So it just depends if you know, Barbara Streisand's from the old school, and she understands how valuable that voice is and how to take care of it. A lot of the young people today, particularly from American Idol, are having problems with their vocal folds immediately. The minute they win, they send them on the road, and they're just working every day. And you just can't do that. This Justin Bieber now, he's another guy that's having major problems with his throat because he is overworking his voice. And you just can't continue to do that and not rest it. And that's what's going on. So some people like this Adele in England, she's had surgery already. There's a number of other singers who have had serious problems. They've had to take like a month or two off just to rest their voice and not speak in the hopes it will come back. It's a pretty serious thing no matter what you do in your life and what your career is, if you're on the phone all day, it's going to affect your voice, so you have to take care of it.
Okay. In closing, to kind of give us a broad view about your CD and also where to buy the CD and how can they contact you?
You can contact me at yourvoiceprofessor.com. Again, yourvoiceprofessor.com. You will find on that website all the information about my individual classes to help you out and to solve individual voice-speech problems that you may have, or if you just want to improve the way you sound and speak and the way your voice sounds, that's where you can get a hold of me. Also, at the corporate level, whether you have a business, small or big, and you'd like to get your employees up to snuff and get them to the point where their voice is really helping your business and not hurting your business, that they understand how important it is to make a good presentation on the phone each and every time. This is a performance every day. You are a performer. You're not just a person answering the phone or talking on the phone. You are a performer representing that company, the first line of defense or offense with people who are listening to you on the other end of the line. So how you sound is critical to making more money for you and for the company. And, of course, that third least expensive way is my 2-CD set, Presenting Your New Voice, again, available on the website, yourvoiceprofessor.com, for $60. You can purchase the CD. I will personally send it to you. And you can listen to this whenever you like, in your car, at home. You can listen over and over again to all the exercises and information, and you will develop a better speaking voice with that CD. Now, it's not as effective as the individual lessons or the corporate lessons because I'm there in person, but this is a good alternative if you don't have a lot of money to really improve the way you sound. So I hope you'll go to yourvoiceprofessor.com. I'm going to offer one other thing, Tim. For the first five people who call me, the first five people at 407-568-TALK, 407-568-8255, I'll give you a free 10-minute voice analysis on your voice, how it sounds to me, and how we can improve what I think needs to be improved and perhaps what you'd like to have improved with your voice. So I'll leave that offer on the table as well, Tim.
Great. I really appreciate it. I do have one question here someone posed, just emailed me, regarding how do you actually solve the issues of people with dialect. And we actually have a whole paragraph here. Nancy from New Jersey, thank you. But she was kind of comparing, you know, the British, the American accents, which differ. And then she's saying in here how different regions of America differs. What a good question is, what do you think why we have this different dialect from one country that we are part of going to America, for one? And number two, as we migrated throughout this country, why are we getting all these different dialects throughout this whole country? I mean, each region, which I agree, is different.
Everything is different, and every country is like that. I've been to China, and they have 56 nationalities in China, all with different ways of speaking. So, you know, and they have different dialects within different cities, like we have different dialects within different cities or regions. If you're from Boston, you certainly have an accent. From the South, you have an accent. From New York City, you have an accent. So this is basically as a result of the people who settled there, what they brought with them at that time, and how the speech developed through the years. Now, regarding dialect and regionalisms, the fact of the matter is, if you are clear when you speak to someone, regardless of whether you're from India or China or Pakistan or wherever the heck you're from in the world, I can help you so that you're clear and you're understood. Because Americans will certainly, Americans are very, very lenient people when it comes to speech. They do not want to be rude to you. If they don't understand, many times they won't even say, can you repeat that? They will just simply ask you to say it slowly and don't mumble and please don't speed when you talk. And if you're clear enough to be understood, an accent is not a problem. Sometimes it can be a positive. I know we've got British people all over American television because I think Americans love to hear the British accent. That's why you've got Piers Morgan taking over for Larry King, and you have so many British people hosting television shows here because somehow there's a thought in people's minds that the Brits are smarter because of the way they sound, believe it or not. So a lot of, and of course, conversely, some people are not as smart because of where they come from in the country. So that can work for you. It can work against you. But if you want to change a dialect, it can be done. It's a long process to really develop what we call the King's English, the middle of the country sound, you know, from Peoria, Illinois, something all announcers want to do. They want you to not understand where they're from. Right now, you have no idea where I was born and raised because I have trained my voice and worked with my speech so that you do not know that I have any of those speech regionalisms that you might hear in New England or from California or the South. Actually, I'm from upstate New York, and everybody up there talks through their nose, but I have changed that, and I have gotten away from that, so you don't know. And when you go on television in any city in the United States and you look at the anchors, every anchor will sound exactly like the anchor in another city because we've all developed that King's English, the Peoria, Illinois attitude of you don't sound like you're from anywhere in particular, so you can move from city to city.
Great. Well, thank you for being on the program today. I really, really appreciate it. And again, your website address is?
Yourvoiceprofessor.com.
Great. Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate you coming on to the program. I mean, you've really been a blessing to us. Have a great day. I appreciate it. This has been another episode of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.